Bobby Rivers, alone in a world that doesn't want him. We can rebuild him, make him better than he was before. Better, stronger, blacker. Mocha.
I'm just a little girl from Little Rock, but fate led me straight to Murray Hill.
Talk to me, everyone.
Hello, tell me all about it. I'm just a little girl from Little Rock. That is one. I could watch that movie over and over again. It is a feel-good movie.
Mm-hmm.
Lived on the wrong side of the tracks. You ever interviewed George Chakiris?
No, but I want to because he's now my friend on Facebook and the Twitter.
The George Chakiris?
The George Chakiris, who is making jewelry now. Hello.
Tell me that we're rolling right now.
Yes, we are rolling.
Okay. I'm going to tell you folks what you're listening to. Hi, I'm Bobby Rivers. This is Mocha. Mocha stands for Man of a Certain You and Age. And you know you want to hear us because you know what? We are old school and proud of it.
Yeah.
I am here with Keith Price. When you want to hear some good Broadway talk, because he talks to actors, directors, actresses, everybody, he has got a podcast. Tell them what your podcast is.
It's Keith Price's Curtain Call, available on iTunes, Google Play Music, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Mixcloud, and Rice Cerrone.
And there you have it.
And yeah, and it's been fun. It's been a joy, and now also available on BroadwayWorld.com's featured podcast.
Good, so. As well it should be. Now, you folks of a certain age, you know, when you were kids, you saw people review movies on TV. You saw people review theater on TV, network television, news programs, and syndicated shows. How many Black, Latino, or Asian people did you see doing those reviews? None! That's why Keith and I are here to bring some color into the field of the arts discussion. And that's why we call it Mocha! Ow, man of a certain UNH. Now, I just happened to mention to Keith that one of my favorite feel-good movies, I can put it on when my spirits are low, it will bring my spirits up. It is the 1953 film starring Marilyn Monroe, Jane Russell, Gentlemen Prefer Blondes. Pardon me. It had been done on Broadway by Carol Channing, and they really revised it to fit the talents of Marilyn Monroe and Jane Russell. And I asked Keith if he's ever interviewed George Chakiris, because George Chakiris is in The Big Number.
Oh, the
Diamonds Are Girls' Friend.
He's one of the lead dancers.
Oh my God. Do you know who else is a dancer in that? Because you see them together in the same shot next to Marilyn Monroe.
Who?
George Chakiris, Bernardo from the movie West Side Story, and Larry Kurt. The original Tony on Broadway in West Side Story.
Oh, wow. How about that? She's flanked by both Tonys.
Yes.
Pow, because the frames are better.
Yes, two West Side Story stars in the Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend number, Marilyn Monroe, choreography by Jack Cole.
Jack Cole, the great Jack Cole.
And you know what? That's one of the
big Gwen Verdon was
Gwen Verdon and Cheetah. Yeah. And Cheetah Rivera. He had very specific, it was fabulous choreography. It was not easy, very specific. And Monroe in her lifetime was unappreciated because she is doing that choreography like she was born to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And she was not a trained dancer like Larry Kurt and George Chakiris.
But you know what's so interesting though? What year was that movie?
1953.
So that movie,
I was only 14.
I was mere lad. Mere lad. But that interesting piece with Larry Kurt and George Chakiris is sort of like, well, Larry Kurt, of course, playing the original Tony in West Side Story
George Chakiris was Bernardo.
Bernardo. In the film
mm-hmm.
version, and Larry Kurt from
the stage version,
before, both of them, before either show was done. Because 1958, I believe it was
you're
when West
right,
Side Story was
right.
on Broadway. And then 1961, 62 was the movie, right?
1961 is Best Picture of 1961.
So
right, you're right. Because those were the years when George Chakiris, you could see him in movies as a chorus dancer. He was in Gentlemen Prefer Blondes. The movie White Christmas, one of my favorite numbers in that is Love You Didn't Do Right by Me, Rosemary Clooney. And he is one of the chorus. Man, I got to meet her and I said, ooh, girl, you worked me out.
That number.
You worked me out in that number.
Isn't that great?
That is a number. And George Chakiris is in that, and he was in the drama, The Country Girl. Now, you may say, okay, why was he in a drama? Because that Broadway play was adapted to fit the talents of Bing Crosby, who gave his best dramatic film performance in that movie. And he was playing a now alcoholic down on the skids, down on his luck singer, who is approached to be in a new Broadway play. So he has a couple of numbers to do, and George Chakiris is a dancer in those numbers.
Wow.
So he had Gentlemen Prefer Blondes, White Christmas, The Country Girl, and West Side Story was his Oscar, Best Supporting Actor.
But I mean, throughout that whole conversation, I mean, he was just a chorus boy up till then.
Up till then, right.
Because I mean, and then as you say that now, it's like, oh, look, there's George Chakiris, but we didn't know who he was before.
We didn't know, but now, boom, your eye goes right to him.
Yeah. Because now we know. See?
Love that.
Look at that.
I have to rent some musicals this coming weekend. Oh, see, like I don't do that every weekend. Okay.
Because that's unusual.
Did you ever meet Elaine Stritch? Did you ever get to interview her?
I never met her. I've seen her perform live once.
Was that the at Liberty?
I didn't get to see her at Liberty. Uh-huh. I saw her actually after that, like, one of the last stage performances that she ever did at Town Hall.
Uh-huh.
And it was part of that last, you know, the documentary that they did about her?
Yes, I saw that.
So there's scenes from that show that I saw that last time at Town Hall with her. And it was kind of weird because, I mean, you know, she was, towards the end, it was like her thing is like just dropping those damn lyrics, man. She just couldn't hold on to the lyrics a lot of times. And you could see the frustration in her face. And you can see the anger because she's so old school.
Right.
And it's like, I'm supposed to know how to do this. This is my strength. This is the one thing I know how to do. And you could just see the frustration in her face. And then I just kept thinking, girl, get you on the machine, the teleprompter. Why are you stressing yourself out, girl?
But she was old school professional.
Old school professional, yeah. But that documentary about her is also a very delicious little piece of stuff. I forgot the name of the thing, but I went to a press event for the documentary, and this cute little Asian director who was following her and, you know, getting a better sense of her life.
And in the documentary,
yeah,
she is telling the filmmakers how to get better shots.
Of her. Yes. You know, I have a friend of mine. My friend Yvonne used to work on 30 Rock.
Uh-huh.
And you remember, that was like her last
big
moment.
Right.
And she said to me that one day she was on the set when Elaine was there, when Stritch was there, and said that it was fun watching Elaine Stritch working with these people because literally she would do 5 takes of the same scene 5 different ways.
Yes.
And like each time nailing it and giving the directors 5 different choices for them to use for that particular scene.
I heard she was like that.
Mm-hmm.
Another one was Stockard Channing.
Yes.
I have a woman friend of mine, Cleo King, actress who I met years and years and years ago. And Cleo had a short scene with Stockard Channing in 6 Degrees of Separation, the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I ran into Cleo and I said, what was it like? She went, baby, we shot that scene so many times and Stockard gave a different performance each time. She said, it was fascinating to watch her.
Wow.
She gave you something new each time.
Well, now, you know, but now, okay, so here we go. So here's the trivia about Stockard Channing and 6 Degrees of Separation. When it came down to the time that they cast her, that's John LaGuar, right?
Yeah. Right.
So when they cast her to do the play, it was literally 3, maybe 4 days before the actual first rehearsal.
Oh, my gosh.
And so she got the play, read the play, and had the play memorized for herself first day of rehearsal. Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
And kids, that's how to do it.
That's how you do it.
Oh.
Okay. Don't bring up Grease. But anything else? That one and that one where she played on that bus. Remember the TV
Oh,
movie?
The big bus.
The big bus thing. Yeah, she just.
Well, a lot of us first saw Stocker Chant. Well, she had a bit part in a Sidney Lumet movie with George C. Scott called mm-hmm. The Hospital. Mm-hmm. She's a nurse. But the first time we really saw her and connected to her was in a made-for-TV movie called The Girl Most Likely To. And it was script by Joan Rivers.
Stop it.
And it's,
stop it.
Yes. And it was a, when there was a, I'm sure a lot of you may remember this if you're in our age category, the ABC TV Movie of the Week.
Yes.
These were original movies, and, you know, some of them were sweetly cheesy, but there were a lot of good ones in there.
Mm-hmm.
Duel, the yep. Steven Spielberg drama when Spielberg was like 19 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Brian's Song. Brian's Song was a Movie of the Week.
With Billy D. Williams.
Billy D. Williams, who replaced Lou Gossett because Lou had broken his ankle.
Wow.
Practicing to be a football player. And James Caan. What else? That Certain Summer with Hal Holbrook and Martin Sheen as partners. They're in love and in San Francisco. And Hal Holbrook is divorced. Hope Lang played an ex-wife, and they're still close, but their teen son does not know that his dad's gay. So he's going from L.A. to spend time with his dad in San Francisco, and dad has to break the news to him. Because, boy, your friend is over all the time. And it's Hal Holbrook and Martin Sheen. And, you know, for the early 70s, that was big stuff. The thing is, Hope Lang and Hal Holbrook. So you couldn't get two more Anglo-looking actors.
Mm-hmm.
The kid that they hired to play the son, his performance was good, but he looked like Streisand as Yentl. And you're going, did anyone just not notice that you've got these two button-nosed parents and the kid's nose, he looks like a macaw. But a good actor, and I wish they would bring back.
He was a little too young for Yentl.
But I wish. Oh man, how I wish ABC would bring back Movie of the Week.
Wow,
that was a really good franchise. All right, my close encounter with Elaine Stritch.
Okay.
This is about 1988, because when I got to New York, I worked at Channel 11, and Liz Smith would do some things for Channel 11, and she would mention me in her column. Mm-hmm. And I got invited to a celebrity wedding reception. I think it was, some of you remember the Guardian Angels, Curtis Sliwa?
Yes.
I think when Curtis Sliwa and Lisa Sliwa were married, they're divorced now. I think it was their wedding reception because Liz Smith was there and Elaine Stritch was there too. And they're best, you know, really close friends, mm-hmm. and their birthdays were on the same day. So Liz said, Bobby, come on over here. I want you to meet Elaine.
That's right. Yeah, so, she's a Texas girl.
Right. Ms. So we're sitting at the table and somebody was like really trying to compliment or flatter Elaine. So they brought up the sitcom she was on.
I've seen the sitcom.
And somebody said, isn't it funny? And I didn't say anything. And Elaine Stritch looked at me and she said, have you seen it? And I said, yeah. And she said, what do you think? And I said, honestly, are you the only one who knows it's a comedy? Elaine Stritch got up from the table and went, I'm coming over there. She sat on my lap. Elaine Stritch sat on my lap, and we discussed that sitcom.
That terrible sitcom.
And it was, I'll tell you what it is. It was the Ellen Burstyn Show.
ABC
gave her a sitcom, and she was kind of giving you Same Time Next Year,
mm-hmm.
but then the person playing her daughter didn't seem to connect, and then Elaine Stritch would come in and boom, sell it. Here, okay. The Ellen Burstyn Show, starring, of course, Ellen Burstyn. Do you know who played the daughter?
Who?
1988. Megan Mullally.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Wow. Because then she went on, she like kind of left that little arena and became a little Broadway person for a moment and was in that How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying with Matthew Broderick, because she was then the young ingenue for Matthew Broderick. And then right after that, went off to L.A. and then became, what's the face?
It goes back further than that. All right, one of my friends from college, Tony Crivello. I did scenes in college with Tony Crivello. Yes.
The Tony Award winning actor, Tony Crivello?
Yes. We went to college together. He would hang out in my dorm room. I would be his scene partner in acting class. He was just blessed with this talent. Mm-hmm. Tony back then had this big, wonderful voice. And of course, the acting department was like, oh my God, we got a straight guy in the department who could sing.
Ooh.
It's like, so he's in every, yo.
He's a coon.
Yeah.
So, Sky Masterson.
So I booked my first job in New York City. And mm-hmm. by that time, Tony was in New York City. And I saw him. He replaced Mandy Patinkin in Evita.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to see him. And I was just stunned. And to see him get a standing ovation from people he didn't know. And then I'm standing up too. And I went, I know him. And what a performance.
Wow.
So, and he at that time lived in Chelsea. And we were talking. I was still doing radio. It may have been like late 70s or early 80s when we went to Marquette University. So, and that's in Milwaukee. So Tony left Milwaukee and went to Chicago and had a local mm-hmm. play. There was a popular book at that time called Do Patent Leather Shoes Really Reflect Up? And it was about growing up mm-hmm. and going to Catholic school.
Right up y'all's alley.
Yeah. So there was a musical review based on that, and Tony was in it playing one of the Catholic school kids. Mm-hmm. And it was very fun. And so we were talking, and there was this girl wearing white socks. She was the only one wearing white socks who just stole the show. She was so cool. And Tony and I were talking years later, you know, after he's won a Tony
mm-hmm.
and for Kiss of the Spider Woman, the musical. Right. And I mentioned that.
With Cheetah Rivera.
With Cheetah Rivera. And I mentioned that play in Chicago, that review in Chicago before he got to Broadway. And he said, you know who the girl in the white socks was, right? And I went, no. He said, that was Megan Mullally. So she's a veteran, baby. She is a veteran.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it was a good moisturizer.
So back to Elaine. She's sitting on my lap.
Side note.
And what I'm saying to her is I like Ellen Burstyn, but there are three different styles of comedy.
Happening.
Yeah, like she's giving you Same Time Next Year. I think Megan was like doing Chekhov. I don't know. And then there's Elaine.
Right.
Just selling it. So we're really talking mm-hmm. about the dynamics of a sitcom. And then she kissed me on the cheek and said, okay, kid, I got to go shoot up. I did not know she was diabetic. I'm just sitting there like, oh, my God. Wow, I'm in New York now.
Elaine Stritch is a heroine. That explains why she can't remember the lyrics now.
Man, you know, coming from years of, you know, being that high school kid, mm-hmm. you know, back home, listening to the Company original cast album, imitating Elaine. Mm-hmm. We love you, Doris. And if you know that original cast album.
The story, did you see a documentary?
That about documentary. That?
Everything. Watching Elaine Stritch. Because you know, when she goes in to sing Ladies Who Lunch, there's this wonderful, that you know, that is like her
signature tune.
That's her signature tune that she did in Company some 40 years ago. And she...
And they're tired.
It's late. She's probably had one or two beforehand.
And Sondheim is very specific about what he wants.
And What I found so fascinating about him is that there was a moment in that same documentary. It's Company, but it's the making of Company, the cast recording. And there was a moment when they were doing "You Can Drive a Person Crazy," and it was
Bobby Booby,
and it was like Donna McKechnie, and I forget who the other two women were. And that's a terrible thing. I shouldn't say that. Probably one of them was Bjork Lee,
Beth Howland from
Beth Howland
Alice.
Who also has...
Was Barbara Barry in there, too?
I think she was in that cast, too. Miss Barbara. Who her last turn on Broadway, Significant Other, but that's another story.
Okay.
So she was tired. They were tired. I couldn't tell if she might have had a little nip or something beforehand.
I think it's... Isn't it after midnight?
And it's like after midnight, and they're still trying to nail it, and she just couldn't get it. He couldn't get it. He didn't like what she was giving. And then they cut to the next day. She goes home. They rest. They come back that next day when they recorded the orchestra. And then she just knocked it out of the park.
It's what you hear today.
It's what you hear today.
On the Broadway original cast album.
Which, amazing.
Man.
Amazing. She was amazing. But I mean, you know, she had a hard time trying to get her movie career on.
You ever seen any of her movies?
No.
There is one. I don't know if it's the first one, but Hemingway's A Farewell to Arms. It had been made in the 30s. It was remade in the, I think, the 1950s.
She, like, plays a nurse or something in that one?
Jennifer Jones, Rock Hudson.
Yeah.
And Elaine Stritch is the nurse who enters the hospital room with a rectal thermometer.
All right. For
Rock
for
Hudson.
I'm talking about an inside joke like that, huh? Ow! Oh, the 50s was so... They just so subtle with their stuff. Right?
Man, they were great.
it just were like, we're just going to give it all away. You just have to figure it out.
You just think about it later.
Think about it later.
Man.
Think about it
just
later.
Just think about it. All right, now, Hello, Dolly was a Tony winner, the revival on Broadway. And we were talking, when we were kids, there was Carol Channing as Dolly. I got to see her in a revival of that. And I thought to myself, okay, now I get it. This is why you're a legend. So there were several women of that era because it was back then you had movie stars and Broadway stars who could still belt a tune. And you had your choice of women who could succeed a Carol Channing and play a Dolly, like Martha Ray or Betty Grable. Ethel Merman, you're right. And then...
Pearl Bailey.
Well, that's when it really got Ike a second win. When they put Pearl Bailey in with Cab Calloway...
And then they recast every part black. It was all
Yes,
black.
It was like the all-black version. And it toured. My mom got to see it when it toured Los Angeles. So nowadays, I thought, well, Bette Midler's not going to do it forever. I'm sure they'll find a replacement. What black actress could succeed Bette Midler as Dolly?
Yeah.
And I thought, I wanted to get your opinion on this, Jennifer Lewis.
That'd be amazing.
Now, you know her from Black-ish.
Mm-hmm.
You know, thank you, Black Jesus. You know her. But back in the day, she was one of the harlettes, one of the backup singers for Bette Midler.
Yes. And, you know, she has a really wonderful... For those who are, like of us that are in the know, we know that she has a wonderful musical relationship with Mark Shaiman and Scott Whitman. And so if you were a fan of Hairspray and you got to see any of the touring companies or anything like that, she plays Morton. Matron Mama Morton.
Motormouth?
Motormouth Maybell. Motormouth Maybell.
Okay.
Who's Mama Morton? That's the prison. That's Chicago. Which she would also be fabulous as that. Sorry. It's all of these M's.
All of these M's.
But she... would be amazing as Dolly. I wonder, though, if they did it with her. I mean, you could put her in there, and we would love it, because we don't care. I don't know who the purists, how they would feel about it. But,
yeah.
I mean, you know, because as much as I love Hello, Dolly, you know, even with that internationally fabulous ensemble underneath,
right,
it's still a pretty white show.
Yeah, it is.
White. And nobody
because
thinks
the source
about,
material was. Let's face it. Yeah,
and most people don't think of a Dolly Levi being a black woman, and most people don't think about, you know, is it Marion the beautiful woman with the the hat shit hot okay. shop lady.
Okay, yeah.
My friend Kath,
Irene Malloy.
Irene Malloy, Kate I'll Baldwin, right now.
Wearing ribbons down my back.
Oh,
this summer.
Listening to her sing that song, genius. She's a beautiful singer. My friend Kate Baldwin, who's doing it now and nominated for the Tony.
Good.
But like it is, it's one of those things that I don't know how people would respond unless there was a more dramatic change. Like if you were going to give me Jennifer Lewis as Dolly, then you're going to have to give me like a black
Horace Vandegelder.
Horace Vandegelder. Because come on now, her next to David Hyde Pierce.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Because they both might fly right out of there, if you know what I'm saying.
Good. Well,
on
God
gossamer wings.
Teacher says,
but I'm just, you know,
whenever
but
you mention gossamer wings, Cole Porter gets his gets a Cole check.
Gets a check. because really that's all I got with that. You know what I'm saying? Like
uh-huh.
so she, but she would be amazing. She would be amazing. Sheryl Lee Ralph would be amazing.
Love me some Sheryl Lee Ralph.
Loretta Devine. How did we forget Loretta Devine?
Loretta Devine.
Come on. Come on.
You know, a Broadway should be, if Sheryl Lee Ralph is she available to do Broadway?
Because
she's such an activist she does so much social activism.
She does
her
social activism. She also works on a Nickelodeon TV show too, the somebody's mom, mm-hmm. some mom show that she's on.
Because I thought if they ever revived Applause, which was based on All About Eve, she'd be a great Margot.
Wait, you hold the damn phone right now. Mr.
I'm
Dr.
holding
Rivers.
It.
I have a sort of kind of friendly relationship with Sheryl Lee Ralph
but
over the years that I've had in the job. And I said to her the exact same thing that you said to her. And I had her Eve. Nikki M. James, who won the Tony for Book of Mormon. She's had a lot of little TV moments. Her last big TV moment for me was in a show that nobody saw on CBS last summer called Brain Dead, which she was delicious in. But she would be a perfect Eve to a Sheryl Lee Ralph. Montego Glover would be a perfect Eve to a Sheryl Lee Ralph. I could think of tons of people that would be great for that with her. And the person that I wanted to direct it, because I know he's a sassy Sons of Gun, Andre DeShields.
Andre! The Wiz.
The Wiz.
Andre DeShields.
Who, 40-some-odd years later since The Wiz, can still wear The Wiz outfit.
You know,
Booyah.
I have seen him.
Booyah.
He's gained maybe an ounce.
An ounce since 1975.
An ounce.
And will be returning. Let's see. He's not going to come to Broadway this season because I don't think that they've got a space for the show this season. But last year, Andre DeShields, along with Lilias White, from Mary Tyler Moore Show, Ted Baxter's wife.
Oh, Georgette.
Georgia Ingalls. And a couple of other people, one of which is the little Asian woman from Orange is the New Black that plays the woman in the commissary.
Yes.
Also a singer, didn't know. They're in a musical that they did in Chicago. And it's now going to be at the Paper Mill Playhouse here in New Jersey come later this season, and hopefully with a Broadway transfer later on that's directed by Jerry Mitchell, about these sassy old people who are going to do a halftime show hip-hop style.
Oh!
And I was like, what?
What?
And, you know, of course, you know, then it's the melodrama of all the stories in between, blah,
right,
blah,
right,
blah.
Right, right.
But that's the overall gist. And so you got this Tony Award-winning Lilias White.
Uh-huh.
You got Emmy, I guess at this point as an ensemble, there's SAG and Emmys and stuff to go around with the cast, and Andre DeShields. Still singing, still dancing.
Man, he's incredible.
He's amazing. And still has it. They all have it. They're all right there present. Baby.
Lilias White is a Dolly?
Lilias White is a Dolly. Hell yes! Hell yes! Wow. See, these are all names that if you were Broadway people like me and, you know, Bobby, you would know who these folks are. But this is an opportunity because these are folks of color that people don't talk about, generally speaking.
Right. And this is why I said minutes ago this is why Keith and I are trying to bring some color into the discussion of the arts. Because this type of talk, we didn't see on TV news shows or syndicated entertainment shows.
And certainly not with this level of zeal.
That is right, baby. That is right. So listen, before we go to a break, remind them again where they can hear you talk to Broadway and other...
They can find me at Keith Price's Curtain Call, available on iTunes, Google Play Music, Stitcher, Mixcloud, SoundCloud, and at my mama's house.
Soon to be a major Broadway musical. Exactly. And me, you can find me, Bobby Rivers TV. And yes, I sure would like to do some TV work again. Bobby Rivers TV on Twitter and Bobby Rivers TV on Facebook. Man, I don't even know what Instagram is yet. I'm old. I got to learn what that is. So that's it. Man, I love talking Broadway with Keith. We mixed it up for you. Broadway and movies. And now we got to take a break. We'll be right back.